October 15th. This is tape one, side two. Now, Sister Mary Irma, I'm going to ask you, but when you came to Mundelein, what were some of the responsibilities that were put on your shoulders?
The first one was the statement that my house duty, your employments everywhere, if they were house-related, the building in which we were living, the community in which we were living, were called the house duties.
Sure.
And mine would be the bells. That meant two doorbells, and the one telephone we had, and Sister Mary Distisdia had a one-way extension in her room. I don't remember whether I was assigned the responsibility before or after dinner. She greeted me very nicely. I have mentioned the reaction to my loss of money,
yes,
which was so necessary. And then she had someone show me around the house, the spot I would occupy in the room on the third floor. Sister Mary Calista's bed and mine were the two just inside the room. Between us was what we called one of the Immaculata chairs. They were like the old-fashioned ice cream parlor chairs,
oh, yeah,
and they had been given us by Immaculata. So we kept our two sets of collective clothing on that chair overnight. And she was probably, I have no idea how long, she celebrated her silver jubilee, I believe, during that first year, or perhaps already had. And I was out of the novitiate and a year of a very sophisticated secular college. She had a peculiar way of speaking. I remember one morning I couldn't find the striped gingham petticoats that we wore during the summer until over her shoulder came, as we were saying the rising prayers, "Holy Mary, Mother of God," and my striped petticoat over her shoulder. Fortunately, all of us in
that. Did you catch it?
Oh, yes. That group of 16 sisters had a wonderful sense of humor, and we liked each other. We loved each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we were a mixed crowd. There were us who were the youngest ones. I was 24, and I believe I was the youngest in the group, but I didn't think about it at the time. I thought about those duties, and I gasped. Most of the duties had to be about housekeeping, that kind of thing. And all of us studying and thinking as hard as we could. And I had to familiarize myself with the voices of the people who phoned. For the people who thought they were asking questions about the college, things like that, and they weren't bad to take care of. One of them was very funny. Producers of all sorts sent samples of their wares and then checked up to see if we had liked them. I have always loathed eggs. I have never told this before. I think you'll have to cut this. As a child roaming around the neighbor's place, I had opened the door of the old house, which they used for a smokehouse, but also partly for a hen house. And I saw a hen lay an egg, and it sickened me so that I could not eat an egg from that time on. If I ate an egg, it came up immediately.
Oh, man.
And to this day, I loathe eggs, and we have egg 6 days a week here without fail. We have meat one day and sometimes more than one, for breakfast that is. But a producer sent a dozen eggs. It seems to me it was every day. I associate it with Tuesday in my mind. I don't know why. And send someone back the next day to see if they weren't the best eggs we ever ate. And I used to be both disgusted and amused, because if you put enough water with them, you can get enough to serve 16 people out of 12 eggs. And that would be one, the staple, one meal.
You were that poor?
Oh, yes. And Sister Mary Albertona, who was a darling, she was a superior presentation where I had been sent for my month before the university would open. And her family were from Anamosa, and I was from Anamosa. Her branch of it had moved to Cedar Rapids, but she still considered animals, but she considered us sisters. And she was very good. And she sent us a regular fruit carton of that size of grapefruit. I don't know whether it was every week, but she kept us supplied, so every one of us had half a grapefruit for breakfast every morning, which was one reason we maintained the health we had. And she sent other things whenever enough came in from the parish that there was something to send.
She thought of you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Of all of
the group.
Us, mm-hmm. Of the group. Mm-hmm. And she appreciated Sister Mary de Cercia. And when I was leaving for New York, she had given me pads of paper, like legal pads, and pencils, things that I could use that they had in the school store. And that got me, helped me a great deal. I had had $10 for expenses and got along pretty well. I had to spend $4.50 for one book and $5 for another and 15 cents for shoe polish the first semester. The second semester, when I was sick, the doctor didn't charge anything, but he had to send for a blood count, which showed up, I guess, the anemia that was discovered by the exploratory operation that means death in one part of it. The words are escaping me now, but it will come, that I had 10 years ago in February. And with, if the medicine, the only one they know that will counteract it, had not worked with me, I asked Dr. Carr what would have happened. This was a couple of years later when he left for Indiana. If they hadn't found it, and if the medicine hadn't worked for me, common ordinary vitamin B6, vitamin B12 I had taken for a year with no effect whatever. And he said, your memory would have gotten worse and worse, and you would have become tired and tired. I said, in other words, I'd have turned into a vegetable. And he said, yes, that's about it.
Well, obviously you haven't.
That
God.
Was
thank
10
God.
Years ago well, in February. Since then, I published a book that got a $2,500 prize, and the designer of it got a big prize, and done a few other little things.
Whether or not you were healthy, you did those things.
But anyway.
Can we go back to
the responsibilities.
To responsibilities, or maybe you'd like to go on to talking about what you understood to be the mission of the college.
Well, I'd like to finish responsibilities.
That's fine.
Because they were a little bit funny.
Mm-hmm.
I answered doorbells, answered all the questions about the college I could. And in the phone calls, I was told, for instance, this amused me very much, and this is my dyslexia, and we twinkled at each other when she said it, but we didn't go into any detail about how we felt. We just knew we were feeling the same way. When Mr. Epic called, I was to be very courteous and remember everything he said, and if possible, I was to deflect him, make him know that anything he said was very important, and that we would keep records, that it was just impossible to sometimes for Sister Mary to say she had to take a call. Mm-hmm. And I got through it somehow. He was reluctant, but he'd have to give up. Mr. Epic was the cardinal's nephew by marriage.
That places him pretty high.
And the architect rarely called, but I would know his voice and would tell Sister that he was calling. I'd have to run up to the second floor to tell her. And the contractor called fairly often, but she would coach me ahead of time what he would probably ask about and what I would answer, and he took it very well. He treated me as though I were Maestro himself. And if it was a question that I couldn't answer, that she couldn't have foreseen, I ran upstairs and told her, and she picked up her phone up there, and that was that. But it was pretty responsible in that some of the calls were pretty important, and there were sometimes pretty important people calling and asking about the college itself, because a good many daughters, all I think of the upper class students we had that first year, had gotten their lower classes, their freshman and maybe their sophomore work, at least. I don't know, don't remember about the others if I knew. At Eastern colleges, Rosemont was particularly popular. Mm-hmm. But they couldn't afford to send them there east anymore, so they sent them to Mundelein. And I have thought too, there was a little bit of Sister Mary Justicia's wisdom in the New York part of it, because at least I had had a year in a, I didn't realize until just when I was working for the oldest intellectual society in the United States and the most prestigious in the East, American Philosophical Society, and the Pennsylvania Historical Society, how much a master's from Columbia meant, and meant even today.
Sure.
The fact that I had a master's from Columbia University was a very big thing.
In the year?
In 1930, the year of the Great Depression. The night of October 29th, when we were coming back from the campus, there was a terrible excitement everywhere, and at the L stations, which we passed, we couldn't take the train, it would cost 5 cents each, but there was a terrible excitement and people grabbing for newspapers and everything. We said, what earth is the matter? Didn't you know the stock market has collapsed utterly? A man just jumped in front of that train that just went by. Another man had gone to the garment district, which was very, very crowded, and jumped off into the heart of the traffic. There were suicides all over there. It was dreadful. And we walked on to the Senegal, and it was awful. Well, anyway, to go back to Mundelein, I did all this. When I had finished college in January, so I would have that last semester with my parents, the secretary of a very great lawyer in town had to go back to Tennessee because her husband was transferred back to Nashville. All the stenographers in town were running to get that job. And I went down and applied for it. My mother said, why don't you go down and see about it anyway? And I, with no experience in that kind of work, but with the 2 years of shorthand and typing I had taken in high school, because I was going to be, in addition to the college prep course, because I was going to be a foreign correspondent in Spain.
Oh, yes.
I had been a very good typist. At Clark, I didn't do much typing except my own papers, if I could get a typewriter, and papers for the nuns who couldn't type or couldn't type decently, and handed papers they wanted over to me to type, and which was pretty good for me too. But anyway, I warned him. I said, now I've had no professional experience, Mr. Chamberlain, but I was a good typist when I finished the 2 years here in Alamosa. And I suppose my shorthand is very rusty. I haven't been using it except for my personal use. But it was good when the classes were over. And he said, well, I would perhaps prefer having someone who could work on my briefs, do things like that. And if I need another typist or more experienced one, I have access to the bank's pool. He was first vice president of the biggest bank in town.
Wow.
And so he said, we'll see how it goes. He'll be here Monday morning at 9 o'clock.
Oh, nice.
And it was so nice. He was a world traveler. He was a fine amateur musician. He owned a whole suburb of Newell Park my memory, this frightens me when things like this
go. Do you want me to turn this?
Roselle Park, and
I don't think we got that name on here.
Roselle Park, New Jersey. He sold it on one of his trips to New York, the whole suburb, and I spent a day writing deeds for all of Roselle Park, New Jersey. I had occasion to go through it on a train one time, and I looked out over it, and I thought, once I handled the deeds of all of this town.
Remarkable. What an experience.
It was a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
And on the same journey on which he had sold that suburb, that portion of the city, he had stopped with friends overnight in Chicago, and they had gone to a concert. He was called out at the intermission to learn that a strip of land he owned in downtown Chicago had been sold for $375,000. And that was the first deed I wrote when we got back to Alamosa. And the experience of this, and seeing how these people thought, and what they did, and what they owned and all, didn't do me any damage when I was teaching college in Chicago.
No, I gave you.
And meeting parents and trustees and people.
Yes.
But the first year of the college, four of us young ones, Sister Mary Francine, Sister Mary Madalena, who had entered who was a freshman when I was a senior at Clark, and I had felt sorry for this kid who was so homesick that we had become good friends. And Jen Gould, who had her degree, and I were appointed assistants to Sister Maria Angelita, who was to set up the publications that would open the second semester of the college. And they were our principal public relations advertising. We sent copies of a magazine which came out four times a year, and the poetry anthology, which came once a year, and the newspaper, which was every 2 weeks, I think, to every house in the community. The sisters were advertising what this BBM college was doing in Chicago.
Sure.
So we were getting a sprinkling of students from Oklahoma and Arizona and California, and it looked very good in the newspapers, and a news item about so-and-so, such-and-such, you know. And we would work regularly until 2 a.m. in the office, because we were all teaching, you know. And we'd have a pitcher of cocoa or coffee, nice and hot, at 11 or 11:30 at night, and rolls or something with it.
And so you could continue working.
And so we could go to communion the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked until 2, and then we took Sister Maria Angelita up to her room, and she went to bed, and then we went back and cleaned the office. And God help us, if there was a speck on the floor or a desk or anything. We had a big classroom for an office. It was very good. And that went on through the year. And at the end of the year, we had a hilarious party just among ourselves.
I don't know how you didn't collect.
We nearly did one time when I came out of the chapel after night prayers, and Sister Mary Justicia called us, and we went over. And she said we had worked so hard that we were going to have our own celebration now. And we went to the office, and the tables were laid out for the four of us, and Sister Mary Angelita and Sister Mary Justicia, napkin and ice cream and cookies. And we were dead on our feet. We had been up practically all night for weeks. We could have done without a party, but we took it. And nobody said anything. There was a jonquil lying on each of the napkins. And not knowing the difference, I said, "Oh, how lovely to have daffodils to celebrate with." And Sister Maria Angelita said, "They are jonquils." And I said, "Oh, that shows how a country person was very ignorant about the spring flower." And that was that. I think that was about the extent of the conversation for the evening.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it was thoughtful and nice.
It was meant to be nice.
And the next year, I think it was, it could have been that year, but I think it was next year, at Easter time. Now this is where the blow really came. Sister Mary Angelita said, "I didn't want to spoil the enjoyment we were having and the work we were doing, but I must tell you now that I have to give up." She said, "I have very advanced stage of cancer, and my time is extremely limited. I will be leaving for this town in the northern part of Iowa, I think, where my doctor is." And Sister Mary Justicia and I have, I think it must have been the second or third year, because Polycarp and Mary of the Cross had come expecting to take over the newspaper and the magazine. And Angelita had sent for me during our Holy Week retreat and explained that she had to go. And she said, "Sister Mary, just as you and I feel that you should take over the creative writing and the writing publications, the creative writing publications."
Of course.
"And Sister Mary Madalena, the newspaper." And the magazine, well, it got a little bigger when I had it, but it was the size of my dissertation, which is in that stuff. Mm-hmm. And substantial and good. She didn't want one thing in that magazine that would not have been good in Atlantic Monthly or something else. And the girls would slave for months to get a thing good enough.
Polish it.
Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't see it. And now I was teaching that first year. I had taught three classes, limited to 30, in freshman English, with at least 10-page papers apiece, and practically all of the upper division English. I taught Shakespeare, essay, contemporary drama, about which I had to learn everything I could overnight. I don't remember what all, but practically all. Angelita was just too sick, we didn't know it. And when Poli and the Crossy came, we were relieved. The rest of us drew a deep sigh of relief, because they came obviously expecting to do the newspaper, the creative writing. And then to have Angelita come out with this, I just nearly died. Mm-hmm. And she said, "Sister Mary Madalena will take the newspaper."
And you would do the
And
magazine.
I would do the other things. And for 20 years, I was the moderator of the review. The name was changed. It was Clepsydra in the first place. It would have been nice to keep it. That was the name of the Greek water clock, which regulated the Greek prose. Writers were allowed to talk just so long, and they stood beside the Greek water clock to speak. And when their time was up, they had to stop whether they were finished or not.
Oh.
And that is used to account for the perfection of Greek prose.
That it was not wordy.
It was not wordy, and every word counted. Mm. But
that's remarkable.
That was the first few years of Mundelein College. After the first year, and this shows the humanity, the dearness of Sister Mary Justicia, we had a big party taking off everything that had gone on during the year. And I had the style show. We had it in the home economics department. There were two large sewing rooms with a movable partition. We could open and close the partition between them. And we had it in there. We had a big horseshoe-shaped table. We moved the table to make a horseshoe. It was Sister Mary Justicia at the head. Well, I took the dress display figure that they used in the, my name, my memory is really going. And that's why I'm trying to get this done before it's too gone to
Absolutely.
Go on.
Yes.
And I attached on the opposite casters, there were four on the thing, the dress form, long strings. We got a funny looking old nightgown that somebody had put new sleeves in because the old ones were completely worn out. You see, we didn't get anything new in the beginning. And a funny nightcap that Callista wore when she was working on her dissertation because it was so cold. And
fur-lined.
I forget what else I got. I think somebody's funny bedroom slippers. And when that part of the show came up, I pulled the alternating strings for the casters so that it turned, and these, oh yes, and a stocking over somebody's face with the features touched up with chalk. Mm-hmm. And I pulled the opposite strings so that it turned and swung the arms just the way the model did. Mm-hmm. And just, yeah.